Though you can't really firmly date the book of Joel. But he's talking about, if you had to touch on a primary theme for Joel, you would see a lot of emphasis on the great and terrible day of the Lord and all that's going to happen in that time frame. There's also quite a bit of calling for repentance and blowing the trumpet in Zion and tearing your heart and not your garments and proclaiming a fast and repenting before God, because who knows about God that he might come and leave you a sacrificial offering or a blessing in his wake. And so Joel is a powerful book about the end time, and Peter quotes from Joel. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 14, "But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, You men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as you suppose." He didn't deny they were drunk. Sunday night we had some drunks in this house. And we had some underage drinking going on in here Sunday night. And I heard from some parents that some teenagers went home and they were a little wobbly in the kitchen after service tonight. But that's all right, because it doesn't impair your driving, and it won't inhibit your good moral character, and it won't make you feel bad in the morning. And it's the new wine of this New Testament, and you really can get a buzz on it. And you can't drink that, and you can't shoot that, and you can't snort that. And I'll just tell you from a long ago experience and things that I've heard, that there's nothing in the world like this Holy Ghost experience. Well, praise God. So he said, "These are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it is but 9 o'clock in the morning, the third hour of the day. But this is that was spoken by the prophet Joel." Everybody say, "This is that." Ah, that's so powerful. We could just stay right there for a little bit. This, when you wake up one morning and figure out that this is that, that this that I'm walking in, that this that has come into my life, this that has erupted in my home, in my family, this that we're feeling around here on a Sunday night or a Wednesday night, this is that. This is what he spoke of. Ah, hallelujah. This is what the prophets desire to look into. This is what the angels want to look at. And in the Greek, it's configured like this. The angels are like little boys looking under the tent at the circus. The angels want to know what this is about. They don't understand this song of redemption and all this shouting and dancing that you're doing, because they never were lost and they've never been redeemed. They never swung out over hell and got snatched back just in the nick of time. Everybody say, "This is that." My God, this is not on the way to what we're looking for. This is what we're looking for. This is not a trial run and maybe I'll try something else, but this is that. This is what the world is looking for. This is what the alcoholic is looking for. This is what the philanderer is looking for. This is what all of mankind, this is what Michelangelo was trying to express when he painted those hands straining to be reconnected there on the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel. This is that was spoken, or which was spoken by the prophet Joel. "And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God." Now in Joel it just says, "and afterward." But Peter takes a little poetic license here. "And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God." Everybody say, "in the last days." "I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy." If you're standing by a son, say, "son, you're going to prophesy." If you're standing by a daughter, say, "daughter, you're going to prophesy." "And your young men shall see visions." And if you're standing by a young man, say, "you're going to see visions." "And your old men shall dream dreams." And if you're standing by an old man, I don't mean your old man. If you're standing by an old man, say, "you're going to dream dreams, granddad." And everybody say, "and on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I'll show wonders in heaven above, signs in the earth beneath. Now the next couple of verses get into some things that are a little bit terrifying and kind of dark. So we'll stop right there. And you can be seated. Let's clap our hands and give God praise and thanks for his word that is forever settled in the heavens. Mighty God, we give you all praise. We bless your... No, that sounds like the fourth runner at the Kentucky Derby or something. I don't... Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. Thank you, mighty God, for your promise. Hallelujah. 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 That's right. That's right. You say, why do you always push us? Why are you always driving us toward that? Why does it seem like you always want to exhort us to greater heights? Because here's the thing. If you're not being proactive about this in every area, proactive in a comprehensive way about your life in God, you will by nature be reverting to type. If you're not straining to swim against the tide, you're losing ground. If you're not proactive in your worship, it can't ever just be a sleepy Wednesday night. It can't ever just be ho-hum Sunday morning. It can't ever just be the Word of God. It can't ever just be the presence of God. This moment is that most powerful moment. This is where He is. He's not I was, and He's not I will be. He is. I am. This is where you meet God. My God, somebody shout about it. Just shout about it a little bit. He is the I am. We're not waiting for the next revival. We're not waiting for the next special meeting. We're not waiting for ARC. My God, we're going to have it every time we open the door. And if you think I'm pushing you, I am pushing you. Because I want you to have this. Because if you don't push this, you'll revert to type. If you're not pressing until John was Moses and the prophets, until John was the law, but now the gospel is preached and every man presses. Every man presses into it. It's the language of the tabernacle. It's the language of the veil. But that's what it is. It's a leaning forward. It's a tension. It's a pressure. It's a defiant attitude that says, I won't be pushed back. I'm not going to lose ground. I've developed my prayer life and I'm not going to give it up. I've given God glory and I'm not going to give Him less. I've read the promise and I won't settle for less than what God has promised me. Well, praise God. You just want us to act berserk. You just want us to shout. You just want us to scream. You just want us to... I'm guilty. I want all that. You just want that in every service. Yeah, I'm guilty. That's exactly what I want. And it's not that just I want it. It's that He deserves it. And we need it. Our children need it. Our babies need it. The city needs it. And you never know when God is going to uncork a miracle. You never know. You never know. Give your neighbor a high five and say, it might be tonight. It might be tonight. Well, what? What may be tonight? I don't know. Whatever God wants to do. Who knows when God's going to drop in? Who knows when God's going to pour forth? So Peter quotes Joel. Says, in the last days, saith God, I'll pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. And then he begins to emphasize sons and daughters prophesying, visions, dreams, and again, handmaidens and servants are going to receive the Spirit and they're going to prophesy. Now, this is an Old Testament prophecy. And the Old Testament is indicative of what God is going to do in the New. And we're well versed in foreshadowing and types and antitypes. But I want you to entertain some scripture tonight. Justin, I'm going to need you to help me. And I should have given you a scripture list, I suppose. But let's take a look at Numbers chapter 11. Numbers 11 and beginning in verse 16. And this is the story of Moses. And he is under great pressure as the deliverer and the leader of God's people. And the people of God are rising up continually against him. And in verse 16, Moses said unto Korah, I'm sorry, I'm in chapter 16. I'll be with you directly. Numbers 11 and 16. And the Lord said unto Moses, gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be the elders of the people, and officers over them, and bring them into the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee. And I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take of the Spirit which is upon you. Everybody say, the Spirit that is on you, and will put it upon them. Now, the Spirit that was in and on Moses was the Spirit of God. And he's going to put the Spirit of God on the 70. And this is at Moses' request, because Moses is saying, this is too much for me to bear. I can't bear up under all this weight of all these people like we're going. And so God said, well, gather 70 together, and I'm going to put your Spirit upon them. Actually, it's the Spirit of God. But the medium affects the moving and the message. And so you as a father, or you as a mother, and you are filled with the Spirit of God, your child will receive a spirit that is quite like yours. How many of you with your eyes closed could tell if you were around the Meehans when they're speaking in tongues? Those of you that have been around a while, you can. And I can tell you, that's a generational transfer. And it's just like we're reading here. There's an effect. There's an influence as the Spirit of God comes through you and you begin to minister to somebody else. Men that come from the ministry of other men. Saints that come out from a pulpit, they have the signature of that spiritual encounter that original person had, and those lessons and those anointings and those prayers, they filter into your spirit, and you some way and somehow pick up that signature of that spiritual experience of the person that is influencing you. You need to be careful who you allow to influence you. Need to walk with care about who you allow to influence you, because there's always a signature there. And so he says to Moses, gather 70, verse 17, I'll come down, I'll take of the Spirit which is upon you and put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bearest it not alone. In 18, and say thou unto the people, sanctify yourselves tomorrow, and you shall eat flesh. Okay, and this goes into another story, but verse 24. And Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and gathered the 70 men of the elders of the people, and set them round about the tabernacle. And the Lord came down in a cloud, and spake unto him, and took of the Spirit that was on him, and gave it to the 70 elders. And it came to pass that when the Spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and did not cease. Everybody say, when the Spirit came on them, they prophesied and they didn't stop. That means they kept on prophesying. Verse 26, and there remained two of the men in the camp. The name of the one was Eldad, and the name of the other was Medad. Great names. And the Spirit rested upon them, and they were of them that were written, but went not out into the tabernacle, and they prophesied in the camp. They just ran into the camp prophesying unto all the people. And this is where Joshua comes to Moses and says, can they do that? Lord, stop them from doing that. And this is where Moses makes this really, really interesting statement in verse 29. And Moses said unto him, "Enviest thou not for my sake? Would God that all the Lord's people were prophets." Everybody say, "Would to God that all God's people were prophets. And that the Lord would put his spirit upon them." Now Moses, I don't know if he realizes it, but he's prophesying about what's going to happen in the church age. He's prophesying about what's going to happen. It's not just going to be the 70, but it's going to be everybody. It's not just going to be Eldad and Medad and Hudad and whatever. It's going to be everybody. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your handmaidens are going to prophesy. And the children are going to prophesy. And everybody in the camp is going to prophesy. Prophecy is when the Spirit of God begins to make utterances through you as you yield yourself a vessel to the will and purpose of God. In the Old Testament, it is contained in just a small number of those that are called prophets. Some of the kings like Saul and David, and the patriarchs like Abraham. While he's down at Gerar, God informs Abimelech, the king of Gerar, that Abraham is a prophet and that he will pray for you. And so all of these notables, prophets, kings, and judges, like Samson, the Spirit of God came on Samson, and the Spirit of God came down on Gideon, and the Spirit of God was obviously moving in Deborah, because the Bible said the stars in their courses fought against Sisera. So there's this supernatural, spiritual component all through the Old Testament, but only on these select few. But in the New Testament, it's not going to be like that. In the New Testament, it's going to move on everybody, and it's going to move much like it did in the Old Testament, where they are mighty beyond their own capacity, where they bring forth a miracle that is beyond their power, where they speak things that come to pass in ages to come, things that they have no concept of in their natural mind. And so they move into an entirely different dimension of existence when they're moving in the Spirit of God. But that's only for a select few. But today, it's for everybody. Touch your neighbor and tell him, if the Spirit of God is within you, you've got the spirit of prophecy on you. You've got the creative power of God on you. You can speak things into existence. You can pray things into existence. You can change the course of events on Thursday before you ever walk into it. You've got the power to utter things that are born in heaven and that come down with fantastic power on the earth and on the residents of the... My God, you got that in you tonight. Prophecy in the New Testament doesn't just happen in a pulpit. It does happen in a pulpit. But if that's the only place, it's a pitiful situation. Your sons and your daughters, your handmaidens, your young men, your old men, the miracle of God is moving in every member of His church. Praise God. Shake your neighbor and say, "I've got a miracle in me. I've got a prophecy in me. The gifts of God are in my life." My God, there's no telling what's going to come forth in you. One of the scariest things I ever heard in all my life, Brother Butch, was when a woman told us early on in our experience, I don't know why we were talking about it, but something about how sometimes when people get the Holy Ghost, it's a little while before they have great liberty to speak in tongues. And she said, "Don't worry about it. I got the Holy Ghost 20 years ago, and I haven't talked in tongues since." It's like, okay, this is supposed to comfort me. She's stagnant. She's dead. She's backslidden. Speaking in tongues is not an experience for you to have on one occasion and then say, "Okay, I got that taken care of." Paul looks at that crowd at Corinth, and there's such a riot. Everybody's got a tongue, and everybody's got a prophecy, and everybody's got a word, and everybody's got a miracle, and they're just spiritual chaos on steroids. They're just blowing up, and he's trying to calm them down and get them some order and tell them how to use those things more effectively and to prophesy to people that don't understand. those that sit in the seat of the unlearned. And then looking at that crowd, who all of them are just perking in the Holy Ghost, he says, I thank my God I speak in tongues more than all of you. Now that's a signal to me. First, he said they all spoke in tongues. Because everybody in the Church of the Living God speaks in tongues. Because if you don't speak in tongues, you're not a part of the Church of the Living God. Let me run that by you again. Everybody in the Church of the Living God speaks in tongues, because if you hadn't spoken in tongues yet, you haven't been born of the Spirit. And to enter into the kingdom of God, John 3:5, you got to be born of the Spirit. When that happens, you speak in tongues. Everybody understands that. Well, praise God. But it's not just your initial or your inaugural experience. It's something God gives you to continue the trend of the Word of God, in which God does everything by spoken word. God does everything from the creation all the way down to where we are tonight by spoken word. In homes where there's nothing spoken in tandem with the Word of God and by the motivation of the Spirit of God, nothing happens in regard to the kingdom of God. In churches where it's not happening, there's no revival being birthed and people aren't receiving the Holy Ghost. There's no spiritual inertia. There's no driving spiritual force. It's not happening because nobody's speaking. Everybody say, you have not? Because? You ask not. What happens when you ask? When you ask, you speak it. That's exactly right. He said, if you got a mountain in your life, what do you do to the mountain? You speak to the mountain. That seems like a curious thing to do. How about a big bulldozer? But no bulldozers. Speak to it. Because when you're full of the Spirit of God and the Word of God, there's nothing more powerful that you can do. He said, if you believe it, you can speak to the mountain. It's got to be removed and go into yonder sea. Now, three of you probably believe that, but I want to ask you tonight, how many of you believe that? How many of you believe the Word of God can move a mountain? How many of you believe the Word of God can change a destiny? How many of you believe the Word of God can bring forth revival, can shake a city, can turn a place upside down? I really believe it. I really believe it. But where is that Word going to come from? It's not going to come from the mouth of an angel. God's done with his part. He's not going to come down and speak it again. He's got a church, and in his church, he's planted his Spirit. And now the Word is in your mouth. The Word is nigh thee. The Word of faith is nigh thee, even in your mouth. Well, praise God. This is not about Cadillacs. This is not about fat bank accounts and big houses. I hope you have all three. I hope you get all of that stuff and a lot more. That's wonderful. But this is about the emerging of the kingdom of God. And it comes by prayer and by prophecy. It comes by, and those are pretty much the same thing. It comes by the spoken word of God. And these men begin to prophesy. And the judges, Othniel, the Spirit of God comes on him. He is the son of Caleb. And the Spirit of God comes on him. And he becomes a prophet. And Gideon has the Spirit of God come on him. And Samson has the Spirit of God come on him. And Saul and David and Abraham and the prophets. And now in the book of Acts, the fulfillment of Joel, all God's people. Now there is more power. Now there are more voices. Do you realize in 1999, Harvard said there were 500 million people that have received the Holy Ghost and spoken in tongues? Can you imagine what it is now, 10 years later? Do you know what's coming right after that? What happened in the first part of the century when there was outpouring of the Holy Ghost at Azusa Street? What broke loose within the first 10 years? The knowledge of the name of Jesus, the knowledge of baptism in Jesus' name, the knowledge of the oneness of God. You know what's about to erupt in our city? You know what's about to erupt in our world? Probably the largest Christian constituency in communist China right now is oneness, Holy Ghost filled, baptizers in Jesus' name, and they haven't had colonial Trinitarian influence. They've just had exposure to the Word of God, and it's blowing up in China. Well, praise God. We have no idea how to quantify what is happening in our world. But right now, what do you think we're doing when we're in a service on Sunday night and I'm telling you, I want you to speak in tongues with authority? What are we doing on a Wednesday night when I'm telling you, I want you to walk up and down in this place and I want you to preach a little bit in the Holy Ghost. Let that heavenly language flow through you. And what are you saying? What are you saying when you're talking in tongues? Well, he's right. Randy, the new guy, is saying you're prophesying. That's true, but you don't know what you're saying, right? Because Paul says when you speak in tongues, your understanding is unfruitful. So you pray for everything you know in the natural, and then you shift gears. You're idling along. I mean, you're cruising, doing good in your understanding. And the devil hates that because you're praying for your mama that she's going to come get the Holy Ghost and get baptized in Jesus' name and turn into a shouter and a dancer and embarrass the daylights out of you. That's my mom. Woo! Praise God. You're praying for friends. You're praying for the city. You're praying for all kinds of things that you understand. But friend, when you shift down and begin to pray in tongues, you see, God didn't give you that heavenly gift of speaking in tongues for it just to punctuate the things that you understand and your experience in the natural. He gave it to you so that you could link hands with all prophets from the Old Testament all the way down to the coming of the Lord. You are standing in a strategic spot tonight on the timeline of God, and prophecy is coming forth from the church of the living God. And what a horrible thing if the church has the gift, but they're mute. Devil wants to hit your mute button. He wants to create havoc on the job so you lose your prayer life. You see, losing your prayer life is a bad thing because a lot of that is losing those things that you pray for that you know about. But the premium thing that's being lost is that supernatural experience where you downshift into Holy Ghost prayer and you begin to pray about things that the Spirit of God has on His list. He's waiting for you to get through with your stuff. God grab Dennis. God shake Dennis tonight. God grab him by his feet, his long body, fling him in the air and touch his mind while he's flying. Well, do you pray like that? But whatever you're praying along those lines, God's just waiting on you. And he's letting you get through with your list. And you're praying for all the things you know. We're children. We're infants. We don't see very far. We don't really know all that much. And God's letting us be a part of it. And we're going down our little list of all the things that we want to see happen. And all we're charged up about it. And we're excited about it. But friend, when you downshift into Holy Ghost prayer, my God, the one who knows everything begins to pray through you. And the one who can see everything, he begins to pray through you. And the one who knows what the destiny of this city is going to be, he begins to speak through you according to his will. For we know not what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit makes intercession through us with groanings that cannot be uttered. Paul says, so I'm going to pray my understanding, and when I'm done, who's that guy? Who's our brother that drives the little, drives the Mustang with the headers on it that sounds like a brother DeAndre? He leaves that Bible study some night, and I pull up beside him in my truck, and he's like, pulling up beside an F-16 or something in that Mustang. And sometimes I pull up beside him, and I go, vroom, 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 vroom. And I've got that 6, I've got that 8, but it's that little 8 in that Sierra. And I don't have dual pipes, and I don't have anything. I just got whatever was on it when it came off the lot. And so it just goes, you know. But his is like, well, that's what it's like. That's what it's like when I'm praying my prayers. Now, I'm not trying to insult your prayers. I'm not trying to insult your knowledge or your capacity. But we are his children. And we are finite. And he is infinite. We are powerless, and he has all power. We are blind, but he sees everything. We're contained in a day, but he stands in all days at once. And when he begins to pray through you, when he begins to pray through you. So Paul says, I will pray in my understanding, and I will pray. Get ready. Get ready. When we're in here, when we're in here and we're praying for one another and we're praying in our understanding. But when we downshift and we start praying in the Holy Ghost in authority. My God, right where you're seated right now, right where you're seated right now, I want you to downshift. I want you to begin to just catch a little something there in the Holy Ghost and let that Holy Ghost begin to pour through you. And in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh and your sons. I want all the sons to begin to prophesy, and your daughters. I want all the daughters to begin to prophesy, and your handmaidens. I want all the handmaidens to begin to prophesy. My God, go ahead. Let that Holy Ghost flow through your vessel right now. Be instant in that. Don't ever let that get rusty. Press through in that right now. With authority. Ha! Ha! Your natural mind doesn't understand it. The natural mind is the enemy of God. Press on into that. Press on into that. You got to lose yourself in it. You got to get beyond your natural mind. You got to get beyond your flesh. You got to get beyond the clock. You've got to get beyond the pressure of the day. You've got to understand the significance of it. You've got to trust God in it. Let it flow. Come on, you Tuesday nighters. Can you only pray in the dark? Are you able to pray with the lights on? If you've never received the Holy Ghost, evidenced by speaking in other tongues, if you'll come right now, God will give you the Holy Ghost. God will give you the Holy Ghost right now. If you feel to, you may want to link up with somebody else. Ha! Hey, see, ha la, ha! Then do that right now. Link up with somebody. As you direct it to them, you will be praying for them. With authority. Go ahead. Sister Debbie, come off that back row and quit acting like a second-class citizen. Come down to this altar right now and talk in tongues with authority. God birthed you in the Holy Ghost in 1987. Come down to this altar, lay claim to what God has given you in this house. This altar belongs to you. This Holy Ghost is yours. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Come on. Somebody take dominion over your house. Somebody walk up and down in the promised land of God. The Spirit of God is making intercession in you right now according to the will of God. The Spirit of God is making intercession in you right now according to the will of God. You are as close to perfect prayer right now as you'll ever be. Now, in the middle of that prayer, understand this. You've got your foot on the accelerator. You determine how intense. You determine how much. You determine how broad and how wide and how deep. You make that determination. You determine a little bit of Holy Ghost or a whole lot of Holy Ghost. You determine a little bit of anointing or a whole lot of anointing. Hey! Takinehelaha! Takinehelaha sara lama! Avigedana lama si se no lo cotelela! Avigara lama! Avre lama di garadigiela lama gara! Let's all gather down around the altar tonight. Come on. Just keep talking in tongues. When you get here, link up with somebody. If you got family, get together with them right now. If you don't have family, adopt somebody right now. Just get in yourself a huddle. Let that Holy Ghost flow in that life, in that family, those relationships.
And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your handmaidens.
Praise the Lord. Clap your hands unto him and give him all the blessing and all the honor, all the glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise God. Now, I did not say that your understanding prayer was powerless. I didn't say that it had no effect or no significance. That's what God has given us to do. To watch over the things that He's given us within our circle and in our understanding. And we're good stewards to pray for those things. But if you've ever developed a prayer life, you know that developing a constant, consistent prayer life regarding things you understand is work. But when you shift gears and begin to pray in the Spirit, your natural mind joins in with the chorus to say, this is ridiculous. This is not accomplishing anything. Your natural mind wanders off and you feel like, what is the purpose and what is the point? And so there's exponentially more work to do to develop that prayer life. But I'm telling you, you have the treasure of God in your spirit in this earth right now. And it's been given to us to break the alabaster box and to let it out into the earth and not to keep it for ourselves, but to use it. Praise God. So here's the assignment. Whenever you're driving down the roads of the city of Birmingham, talk in tongues, because it doesn't detract from your driving skills. And just when you're working on some mindless thing, you're cutting the grass, or you're working in the yard, or whatever, you're washing dishes, talk in tongues. Let's try to step this up to a level where we haven't walked it just yet. Talk in tongues. When Paul says, I thank my God, I talk in tongues more than all of you. It's almost like a challenge. I want to talk in tongues more. Praise God. Tell somebody by you, I'm going to talk in tongues more. Tell them I'm going to prophesy incredible things. Tell them God's going to speak through me according to the will of God. How many of you believe we can just literally shake this city in prayer? I really believe that. I really believe that. I really believe that. Praise God. God bless you. We'll work on Joel some more this weekend, God willing. Share your victory and your love with folks before you leave. Remember, there's a youth meeting in Stephen's classroom. And if you're going to be a part of the men's work day on Saturday, come meet right over here with Brother Bart. And let's take a look at how many we are going to have. And he'll give you an idea of what tools to bring. If you can't stay and work, just come eat breakfast with us and have some prayer with us.